Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of August 29th, 2017. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the columnist, blogger, and all-around media maven, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
And we're also happy to be joined by Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well.
Good. And Mariah, I hear you have an event coming up in the future of your own construction?
I do. I'm doing a book talk for my book, Protecting the Planet, Environmental Champions from Conservation to Climate Change, at Trident Booksellers and Cafe, which is, it was 2016 best bookstore in Boston or something like that. It's a fantastic place. And that'll be on Wednesday, September 13th at 7 p.m.
And it's Boston.
Downtown Boston, right on Newbury Street.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds good. Well, good luck with that. And get there, say hello to Mariah, and check it out. That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So guys, this past week, our climate hero, Mr. Bill McKibben, has written yet another manifesto, right? I was saying before that Bill McKibben has written these very influential articles, typically in Rolling Stone or The New Yorker. This one's in something called In These Times is where I read it. He's written another article, and just to set it up, McKibben wrote the Do the Math article, right, which was a fundamental, I think, a mover and shaker for the whole Keep It in the Ground movement. Right. And that article was the lead in for a campaign on the part of the 350 people for exactly that. Remember the Do the Math tour? I don't know if you guys remember that far back. But and then he's done other things. So this article, I don't know if you read it, DR, but this most recent article is basically making the case that climate hawks should adopt a positive message of demanding 100% clean energy on a short time scale, right? Is that? Did you get a chance to look at the article at all?
Yes, it was a great piece in which McKibben basically makes the point that just as the fight for 15 and Medicare for All have been raised up into main event issues in the United States, going to 100% renewable energy also needs to be raised up into a main event issue. He does acknowledge as later on in the piece that this is not to say that the fight is going to be easy, and he notes that there is a sort of bipartisan reluctance to go 100% towards clean energy, in part because of, you know, there are some labor unions that still support building pipelines. Mm-hmm. There's some politicians in both parties who obtained support from the fossil fuel industry. There's another element as to why this might be more difficult than it seems, not cited in the piece, but cited in an article that came out the same day by a gentleman I've mentioned before, Nathaniel Stinnett of the Environmental Voter Project, discussing the problem of people concerned about this issue not turning up in numbers commensurate with their numbers in the population to vote. You know, the idea that this is not one of these issues that gets people out of their houses to vote the way guns or abortion gets people out of their houses to vote. And in order to get to 100% clean energy as soon as possible, there has to be the mother earth of all voter mobilizations in order to accomplish that goal.
I agree. And I think that in sort of building on what you were saying, I think one of the points that McKibben made, which I think is also a mechanism for bringing people out of their houses, is the fact that the renewable energy, you know, what do we mean by renewable energy? Typically, you mean wind, solar panels and wind turbines, right? That the cost of that has dropped so dramatically that it is on a par, in fact, in many cases, cheaper than other forms of electricity. And so in addition to being the right thing to do, it also becomes an economically sensible thing to do. And I think that making money is this huge motivator for lots and lots of people. And so the ability to make money, while it's not as noble as going out to vote, is also a driver and a justification. Because I think that McKibben makes a call that we should insist on 100% clean energy, but that is not some unattainable goal. It is something that we could do if we put our mind to it in a way that is not destructive of the economy. In fact, it benefits the economy. It creates jobs. It creates cheaper, cleaner electricity. And I think I took that as one of his main points, is that renewable energies the cost of renewable energy has dropped so dramatically that the time has come to just insist on 100%. And I think he made a point that Senator Sanders, our beloved Senator Sanders, has introduced a bill to have the United States become 100% clean energy by, I don't know, 2035 or something, some date in the not too far future. Is that part of it? Do you remember?
Yes, he does mention that bill that Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon has also co-sponsored, and as he notes that this is something that that should be a legislation similar to the legislation, the John Conyers legislation for Medicare for All. This should be something that should be a litmus test of sorts to determine how serious people are mm-hmm. about moving towards clean energy.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, when you say clean energy, did the article at all define what clean energy is? What are they including? Are they including nuclear? Are they including biomass? You know, we talked a lot about burning biomass. Like, what Sanders is saying is clean energy?
I think there's an article, I forget, no, of course, now the details escape me, but a couple years ago, there was an academic research paper or report. Whether or not it was peer-reviewed, I can't say. But it basically made the claim that you could power the whole United States on wind and solar. Mm-hmm. But also carbon capture. Right, so carbon capture and some negative emissions growth, that is to say, actually taking carbon dioxide out of the air, was postulated in this plan from a few years ago, and it caught some flack, right? But I think that's the kind of thing that McKim is talking about. It is a no holds barred, but not nuclear and not biomass. But I think it would imagine that there will be some technological advance to either use coal and recapture the carbon, which I kind of doubt, but maybe actively taking carbon out of the atmosphere, which is a new technology.
Just to reference that, that's probably the 2009, I think it was, Scientific American study by Mark Jacobson and DeLucci.
Yes.
Mark
and
Wolf,
it was definitely peer reviewed. And wind, water, and solar is what he defines as clean energy, as well as I would assume also the carbon, as you were mentioning about the carbon capture. But yeah, that was definitely a peer-reviewed study, and there was recently sort of some discussion about that study. But he has the solutionsproject.org is a whole website devoted to how play-by-play how each state can get to 100% clean energy. It's a really nice website.
Right. And it's legit. I mean, it is the kind of thing that you can, with a straight face, argue is credible and doable and necessary. And so I think, again, McKibben has crystallized this kind of idea that it's a positive message. You know, the thing about green jobs is a perennial, but people care about jobs, right? And I think one of the other points McKibben makes is that while there'll be new jobs in the green energy sector, someone's going to lose, right? We need mm-hmm. to face that up front. And he was talking about like a GI bill, that if you lost your job in the coal industry or in the fossil fuel industry, you got a 3-year loan to go to college and, you know, like the GI bill, right? Remake yourself, reinvent yourself. And I think that kind of thing is something that's required, right? Just to break the sort of argument about winners and losers in this green jobs economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
This is unrelated, but the Vox, I mean, it's related, but it was not part of the McKibben article, but there was a Vox article that said that It's called Wind and Solar Power Are Saving Americans an Astounding Amount of Money. And then I liked the sort of subline, which was not getting sick and dying from pollution is worth quite a bit, it turns out.
Exactly.
You know, well, it's interesting. I mean, so McKibben's call, maybe I will do some shameless bragging, but the Massachusetts Climate Action Network has been supporting, and there are towns in Massachusetts, in particular, one of the leading examples is Cambridge, Massachusetts, that has had what it calls a net zero program now for several years. And in fact, I think Cambridge has, I'm not sure it's achieved net zero, but it is an effort to make all of the buildings be net zero and to get all of the electricity used in the town from clean sources. And it's a model that MCAN is trying to propagate and explain to other communities within Massachusetts, that you can set a goal that your town be net zero, which is right in keeping with 100% clean energy, right? I mean, McKibben's saying make all of your energy in a clean way. At the same time, you can say, I'm going to only use clean energy and have my town not burn any fossil fuels. That's a plausible thing to do, and MCAN can help out. I mean, that's part of what we do. And even if you're not in Massachusetts, it's a reasonable goal to figure out how to get your town to do that, right? Which is why MCAN has a work kit to evaluate the status of your town and figure out where you can begin. If you're in a local community and you want to do something and you can't figure out where your community stands in terms of green energy, we got a checklist to help you figure that out. So there is there's a connection from Bill McKibben right down into Massachusetts, right? Mm. Well, look, I guess the other thing that I wanted to point out was that on Tuesday, September 19th, MCAN will be participating with the Mass Power Forward Alliance here in Massachusetts to have what's called a lobbying day at the State House, in which people can go in and talk to their state legislator. And we've said this before many times on the show, right, DR, that it's exhilarating to actually have the moxie to go talk to your state representative and find out that he or she is not a monster and is really interested in what you have to say about things. They will be having a lobbying day to talk about the renewable portfolio standard here in Massachusetts. So there's legislation in Massachusetts requiring. So first of all, the renewable portfolio standard is a fancy name for a requirement that the portfolio of the collection of sources of energy that the utilities use, right, that's their portfolio of energy sources, has to have a certain fraction of renewable power contributing to the electricity in the state. And the law calls for that renewable portfolio standard to increase by 3% per year. And if we can increase the RPS, the requirement for clean energy in the Massachusetts utilities, if we increase it by something like 3% per year, we're 100% clean by the mid-2030s, I think. I'd have to check the exact numbers. But it's really a good way to force the state to become, again, back to Bill McKibben, 100% green energy. And on September 19th, you have the chance to go lobby your state representative. So we'll put up a link to that. The link is on the MCAN Facebook page. We'll put up a link in the blog to say, here's where you can sign up. You'll be trained, you'll be assisted, you'll be taught what to do. You'll have an expert probably accompany you, just because you don't need to know all of the details, and you can go lobby your state rep. You can pretend you're from K Street down in Washington, D.C. You can wear your three-piece suit, right, DR? I'm going to wear my Mariah, what's the equivalent of a three-piece suit for a woman? What's the heteronormative three-piece suit for? Yeah. Is it a pantsuit or is it a?
I know. I think we get to choose. We get all kinds of options.
You guys are lucky.
Pantsuits, skirts,
really
you
lucky,
name it.
Right? You can still look professional 100 different ways. Well, good. Anyway, so that's the deal. Let me say we'll put up links to things, all this stuff on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find the show and the blog on our Facebook page by going to /massclimateaction, and you click through that, listen to the blog, listen to the podcast that way. Of course, you can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and other directories. You can find us on iTunes by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, as we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And you're going to be publishing in Washington Monthly again this weekend, I take
it? That's correct, yes.
Washington Monthly, check out DR stuff there. And Mariah, your thing down on Newbury Street is September
13th. 13th. At 7 p.m. Mm-hmm.
And then you'll put in a link to that in the blog post, right?
You bet.
So thanks to everyone for listening. We look forward. We're happy to have the chance to chat. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.